On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
Welcome to another episode of Tall Can Sports. My name's Matt, as always. Well, as most of the time, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's not always Matt.
I was going to say, as always, joined by Rob, but it's not always Rob. So, but you've heard his voice. You know he's back with us. How are we doing, man?
Good. Okay. Good. You're not willing to share your stage name with the crowd?
Max Power.
Okay. I was thinking Savvy, short for Savannah from your stage name, but you're not going to share. I can tell by the look on your face.
I'm lost.
That I've said too much.
Well, I think I'm more lost than said too much. But
Savvy?
I'm trying to think of, there's another great stage name. I can't remember if it was a Simpsons or a Family Guy. Somewhere it was Jack Package. A great one.
Okay. Yeah.
But
you're going in two different directions with this.
I'm all over the place with this right off the bat. None of them sporting.
They're all sporting.
Jack Package was a terrific pole vaulter, if I recall.
For sure.
So we're into the dog days of summer. Baseball continues to...
suck.
Well, grind through its kind of...
Dog days of summer.
Yeah. NFL starting up soon. CFL is kind of into the swing of it. We thought we'd go down a different road rather than trying to scrape together enough news and notes and just talk about...
That never happens either. We go down roads, there's segues, dirty little side alleys.
Dirty. and just talk a little bit about live sports, which we've done a similar show on Audio Whiplash. I believe it was episode 2. You should go check it out. On live music, best concerts, best vibes, kind of a bucket list. So we just thought we'd go down this road a little bit and just talk about the best places to see an event or, you know.
So, you know what? Great topic.
Thanks, man.
So before we start, though, I think it's worth touching on the idea that live sports can be amazing. Right, you can't even really make the comparison to live music because there's always something to be gained from live music, right?
Right.
Whereas I think TV has gotten so good, right, in terms of the way they present sports and you know the replays and everything, right? You don't miss a thing on TV, and you're taking it in from the comfort of your own home. You're doing all those things. So
in reach of a beer that didn't cost $11.50,
and more important than that. You're going to drink that beer anyways. So it's really how close is the nearest bathroom and how many people do I have to navigate to get to that?
The 11:50 never seems to deter.
No.
It's just an irritant.
Exactly. Damn. Yeah. So to me, live sports, when you're looking at, depending on the sport, 162 games a year, 82 games a year, you know, whatever it is, and you're trying to fill venues nightly, in some cases, it's a real grind,
yeah.
right? So they have an uphill battle in terms of putting that presentation on and being on every night, right?
Well, I think baseball recently cracked, right? Like they would not, for the longest time, show replays of controversial calls in the building. And it was actually a deal struck
with the umpires,
union. Yeah. That just said, no, you're not going to embarrass us and, you know, have people. And there was a certain amount of, you know, let's not have people throwing things or rioting or whatever. But if you're that bad at your job that you are worried about that often having people see your mistakes, maybe you shouldn't be doing that.
Well,
job,
you know what? Right? And I think from watching enough sports, right, I think baseball umps are the biggest bunch of douchebags.
Oh, in any of the sports.
In
for
any
sure.
of the sports.
Oh, for sure.
Right? They're sort of indignant. Like, they're above and beyond reproach, right? That,
and just decide night to night. No, because I don't like you. That's not a ball, right?
Or right.
That's a strike tonight.
Strike zones okay. fluctuate, all those things, right? And so it doesn't surprise me that they would wield that kind of power, right?
And I think it was killing baseball to a certain degree, right? Like, you know, on a bang-bang play at first base, let's say, right? Just legging out a... Or maybe even something bigger than that. Bottom of the ninth, and guy's giving her from second, gets around to home and dives. I'm sitting in the building. I've paid you my money, and I don't get to know what just happened. Well, the guy sitting at home with his beer in his bathroom.
He's watched it 8 times.
Yep. Knows exactly what's happened and what the right call is. And so when they moved to add all this instant replay in, which was going to involve having the extra cameras and stuff anyway, I don't know if the CBA with the umpires was up, or if it was just they just told them, no, we're doing it. But you can't give your paying customer less than what he would get if he stayed home. Like, that's the problem.
Right.
And, I paid you money and I'm not getting as full of an experience.
And honestly, and so you and I have been to a Jays game this year.
Yeah.
And I'll throw that right off my, I've been to a couple of live sporting events this summer, and it's just that Jays game was brutal.
Yep.
Right? The dome was...
Yeah, it was a Thursday night.
Half full would be generous.
Tampa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they'd be lucky if they had 25,000 in
yep.
there. And the game was dull. There was just no environment. And you go, man, we set down a good chunk of change.
Yep.
And that's killer. Whereas if I'm at home,
I don't care.
You're flipping around. And so to sort of put a – sort of bring this back around full circle, live sporting events – can really be polarizing, right? In
yep.
terms of the stuff. When you plunk your money down, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It's a crapshoot. You know, when you go to see your band, there's some variables. What's the crowd going to be like? What's the set list going to be like? Is the lead singer going to be drunk and incoherent, which we've all seen, right? But you know...
Will I, as a fan, be drunk and incoherent?
Yes, okay. And urinate on myself?
Anything's possible.
Yeah, anything is absolutely possible. So that sort of thing is... It can be frustrating and maddening when you walk out on a Thursday in February and you're like, wow, I watched Carolina and Ottawa and it blew.
Right.
And it's minus 25.
And I'm half an hour from home out here and God knows where.
Or worse.
Yeah, for sure.
But the upside of that is, can be golden if you are in the right spot at the right time.
Right. And you've got a couple of those that we're going to touch on. At least one that I've been jealous of for a very long time. I think the other thing, if you're going to pay and go, like you said, you might get that action, you might get that historic moment, you might get that. It's so much fun, if the game is fun, to be there with the crowd, right? And everybody's yelling and chanting. It's really hard to recreate that at home on the couch, where you kind of go to be with those other fans when this big game goes down, right? Or when
yeah.
That's half the experience. So I thought we'd start at one that you and I attended together with a couple other people in 2012. Yeah.
November 2012.
Yeah. I don't remember the number of it now.
154, I believe.
UFC 154 in Montreal, George St. Pierre versus Carlos Condit.
GSP making his return.
Yeah.
Off for a year with the knee problems.
Yeah. Condit wearing the interim tag, I believe, at the time.
Yeah.
What are your... you know, at first blush, what's your strongest takeaway from that, or what comes to mind when you first think back about that one?
Johnny Hendricks knocking out Martin Kampman in the fight just before the GSP fight.
Quickly, if I recall.
Laid him out starchy, 45 seconds, boom! And Kampman is a guy with a chin,
yeah.
Right? He likes to get in there at 170 pounds.
Yeah.
He is that nice blend of, you can trade, I can take a couple, I'm going to get in there. But Hendricks just walked right into him with a straight right. Boom!
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm full on, flat on my back, out.
Right.
That, to me, was before the main event. Because there was a bunch of snores. There were some decisions. There was the Cote, you know, win by disqualification, blows to the back of the head. It was
right.
The crowd was looking to get jacked up. And you and I had also spent a good chunk of coin on those tickets.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And so you're looking at this going, you know, it's sort of grinding along. We're grinding along. And then that Hendricks-Kampman fight, which honestly, I was just as stoked to see that fight.
Well, and you showed up a little later than I did. The crowd was also jacked earlier. You talked about the main card dragging a little, and it did. Just before the main card, the Cote fight, the crowd was obviously electric for their guy, right? And it finished in controversial fashion with blows to the back of the head that the crowd was not thrilled with. But my memory of that, or my takeaway, is not so much the results, it's just that is easily the loudest building I've ever been in for a sporting event in terms of crowd atmosphere and people just losing their minds, right? And you kind of get swept up in it as a, you know, when I sit and watch a Habs game from that venue, from home, being played in that venue, and you hear the Olé chants and these sorts of things. Hey, douchebags, right?
Yeah, and as
and then you get there, and you get swept right up in it, right? You're part of it, and
I did not get swept up in it.
He's not being completely honest with you. There was some Olés coming from him. And,
no.
Okay. You get a little bit of this joie de vivre.
There may have been, but there was a Frito on the front of it. If that's the case, I can almost guarantee you there's no Olé. There's no Olé Olé coming out of this pie hole.
You may have been the only one in the building then that was.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That is, and will stand. I don't know what I'll have to see, especially when GSP is coming out and people stood through most of that fight cheering and yelling and just an unbelievable
and just
atmosphere.
About shitting their pants when Condit caught him on the side of the chain and put him down
in the third, I think.
And yeah, he was on him.
Yeah.
And the place went, it went from being absolutely raucous to,
oh boy,
this huge intake. And then there's this one idiot behind us going, yeah, get him. And you're like, you got to be the only guy in 20,000 people
in
here.
Are you Condit's dad?
Yeah. Well, but you know what? That whole, so again, everyone, it's building. We, as you know, but to paint a picture for the listeners, we were right on the edge of the second level.
Right.
Like that front row. Yep. And so there's the railing there. That's about waist height. But we could lean over and it was sort of aluminum on top of the concrete.
Yep.
So you could lean over and you could bang it.
Yeah.
Getting way better sound than you could ever get out of just clapping, right? So we're all leaning over and we're pounding on this aluminum.
Yeah.
And the place is black. And you know what? Any of you who are MMA fans, those of you who aren't, I'd like to see a little more MMA on the show. We can get into a bit of that. But
yeah.
Condit, at the time especially, Condit's such a good guy, right?
He was hard to hate.
And I'm a huge GSP fan for all his...
Yeah.
His technical wonders, right, and his ability to whatever your game is, I'm going to beat you at it.
Yep.
Condit is the consummate professional, right? He's also a hardworking guy, and you know, hard to hate, as you said. And I wanted to see him lose.
Yep.
But and you know, when he came out to Ghost of Tom Joad but the Rage Against the Machine version, you know, I love that and. And the place is dark, and he's obviously wearing the black hat that night, right?
Oh, yeah.
But out he comes, the tune's great, the environment is, and then there's that silence. Now, George came out to some techno crap, some French techno stuff, which,
boo!
Boo, for sure. George, I'm trying to get on side here, buddy. But didn't matter. Honestly, he could have came out to, I have no idea.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly. the Marilyn Monroe version. But it was awesome. And
I cheered that.
It's pitch black, and there's the sort of the searchlights going around the arena, and it's honestly I can't imagine what it would be like to be walking out into that. How you could be able to contain your own emotions,
not be distracted, and not be
get amped
swept
up yourself.
Yeah.
And this being his return, you know, all those things, and in your hometown, and but you're right, that place was deafening, and I was so interested to. That's the one and only live UFC event I've ever seen, and I was interested to see. But I've seen many on pay per view, and I was interested to see how that would translate onto TV, right? And so watching that fight on replays, you know what I mean? It just doesn't translate.
No.
It doesn't translate.
I totally agree.
Like Rogan and Goldberg are saying,
"You have to.
You cannot
be here." Rogan's losing his mind.
How loud it is in here.
He's yelling at Goldman to take his headset off and listen to this, right? Like it just doesn't. Sometimes on TV, you can kind of get that this crowd's a little more amped than most. For whatever reason, it just didn't come across that way when I watched it back either, right? You could tell the crowd was cheering. They could tell they were pro. But to be in the building, it was unbelievable. And so that for me is easily the loudest crowd I've ever been in, the most jacked up crowd that I've ever been in. Montreal has this reputation for having those sorts of environments for sports and for concerts. You'll always hear that the crowds for a Montreal Canadiens game are the loudest or most raucous in the league.
That's because they just cheer mindlessly and they don't know what they're looking at.
I think they boo more than they cheer. He hit our guy. Yeah.
That's actually a penalty.
Yeah. Chicago, I think, in the playoffs can pretty easily rival anything that Montreal's done. There'd be some other buildings, no doubt. But that was pretty cool to see it in Montreal, to see it because I wasn't there live, but I watched the GSP fight when the UFC made that huge deal of going to the Sky Dome in Toronto and selling 50,000-odd. But that building just doesn't project the same way. It's so cavernous, right, that it's hard to get that feel like you can in an arena. I had been to another UFC event a little earlier, I guess a year before that, in Toronto at the Air Canada Center that was main evented by Jones versus Machida.
Machida!
And also had Nogueira versus Mir when Mir broke his arm.
Awesome.
That was one of the most unique experiences I've ever, to have a whole crowd cheering that you know this fight's nearing an end and he's in trouble, and then to see the arm go and have 20,000 people, look away and know exactly what, and they just keep showing the replay up on the screen, and every time the crowd gives you that same reaction, looking away every time it happens.
And it's like Rogan always says, it doesn't matter how many times you see somebody get kicked in the balls.
Right.
And they just show it, and each and every time they show it on the big screen, it's the same. It's
odd. Cringe a little,
The same. Well, you just saw it.
Yeah.
You can't react all surprised and shit. You just saw it.
You talked about St. Pierre coming out that night and being, you know, trying not to get too amped up, trying not to get swept up in it. That night, Hamannik fought, and I can't remember now who he
Aldo.
Fought. One punch, 8 seconds in, out cold.
Oh, and that may be a different fight.
Yeah,
Aldo was the one he lost and had the big contusion on his head in Toronto as well. That may have been at the Sky Dome fight.
Could be. This would have, he kind of said fight. He came out fast into the center with his arms down. One punch, out cold, night over. Right, and
I'm still getting paid. Just no bonuses. Do I get to share in the knockout of the night?
But you're looking.
Do I get?
I was on the receiving end of it.
What if we came up early and I said to you, "Hey, listen, any chance I'll come out with my hands down, but you got to hit me right here, right on the side of the chin. But it's got to be clean.
Right on the off button.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want any of that Bambi leg stuff. I want to be starchy, please.
I'm getting a good look at that Maple Leaf Air Canada logo that's on the bottom of the clock there as I'm looking straight up. It's, you know,
like so many Leaf goalies. Oh, it's terrible.
It's just cold, man. Why do you got to be like that?
Because that's the best way, man. You got to come in. You got to come in from the side.
Yeah. So it's you know, very different crowds. A Toronto crowd is always different. Now, this was an MMA crowd, so it was certainly different than a Leafs or a Jays crowd, and it was loud, but it was nothing like that night in Montreal, right? Now, Hamonic didn't give them much to cheer about, the hometown kid.
Yeah, well, and that's going back. There's so many factors that go into what makes a live event special, right?
Yep.
And you know what? You and I hardly touched on the GSP fight itself.
Right.
Right. We in terms of what made that fight was, and it was a grind. It was a 5-round decision. Right.
Now, George. They all are.
Right. And George dominated all but maybe that third.
Right.
If you look at the scores, they were 50-45, 50-45, 49-46.
Right.
And I don't know how anybody doesn't give Condit that middle round, but neither here nor there. The fight itself was almost, you knew George was going to get in there and he was going to grind him out and just beat his ass, right? And so the fight almost became secondary to the environment.
Right, the spectacle of it, right, the event itself. Did you think in that third round, and we're going back and dissecting a fight that's 3-4 years old now, when Condit's all over him, if George isn't George, if George isn't the champion,
are they stopping that?
I think there's refs that stop that. I think it was that close at a couple of different moments, especially now watching it back on video. Man, you could make a case for ending it.
Well, either way, we would witness history.
Sure, yeah, but I think certain athletes, especially in fighting, you know they say in all sports, the stars get a little more room, and
the champ gets a little more room,
right,
too.
So, and that's what I mean in, you know, but in Crosby and Jordan in his day and these sorts of Kobe, right, they don't get this. The rookies don't get the same kind of love that those guys get from the officials. So I just thought at that point it was pretty close and they let George stay in it. And
ooh, that's a bad decision.
I want to jump into hockey here because I've got a couple of there's one that really I mentioned or referenced earlier that I've been jealous of for a long time, and this will obviously speak almost solely to Canadians, but you want to take that? Or
yeah, you know what? And to me, if we're talking sheer volume of noise,
right?
09 World Juniors here in Ottawa. The Canada-Russia game, I split...
Semi-final.
Yeah, I split a package for a tournament package with another guy. And so it came down to it, not knowing, you never know in an international tournament, right, how this is going to shake out.
Yeah.
So the whole idea comes down to what we have medal games. You got your two semis, and you have your bronze and your gold. How do you want to shake that out? And really, I know I'm guaranteed to see Canada in a semi.
Yep.
I don't want to see him play in a bronze, to be honest with
nope.
you. So I pitched the guy. I said, I'll take both semis. You can have the bronze and the gold.
Right.
And that way I know I'm solid. I'm going to get a Canada.
Big game.
Big game.
Big opponent.
And I'll be able to watch the gold then from home.
Right.
If that's the case.
Right.
And if it's
and
not.
And the gold in that tournament turned out to be a dog.
Right. Yeah. And you say, who cares then about a bronze medal. So really it came down to swapping the gold for the two semis.
Right.
Right. And the one semi was an absolute dud. Sweden, Slovakia. Right. So, but the Canada-Russia game ebbs and flows back and forth and the ebbs.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. and to have that game, you know, the Russians up a goal, 5-4 late. Right. And the Russian kid's name escapes me. The one who doesn't skate the center.
Yeah,
he's got all kinds of.
I think it was Klopov, if I'm not mistaken.
He's got all kinds of room. Takes a crack at the empty net with 15 seconds left or whatever it was. Misses it. Takes the icing for that infamous, you know, it's Ellis on the boards, I believe.
Ellis keeps it in down to Tavares on the boards.
Slides it out front to Eberle.
Yep.
Makes that move. In the net. And so I'm there.
Right.
I'm there. And honestly, that crowd was up and down, because if you remember the game, it was...
Canada couldn't pull away ever. You know, they scored a couple, and then Russia would come right back and tie it, and you never really felt great, right?
Eberle had a hat trick. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, yeah. He had three of the six goals.
He ended up winning in a shootout, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had three of the six.
And scored in the shootout.
Right. So now they must have credited him for
the shootout
goal. The shootout goal.
Yeah.
The winning goal. But to me, there was sheer dejection in the crowd when the Russians scored late, 3-4 minutes to go, whatever the game was. It was sort of that, man, you had, so capacity is 19,150. There was 19,560 or whatever in the place, right? So, and that's with the standing room and everything. They had shoehorned another 400 or 500 people in there. Honest to God, though, when Eberle tied it up, it was bedlam, you know. And you always see these sporting moments. You see them in movies. You see where you have complete and total strangers high-fiving in the aisles. Yeah. You got guys coming down and high-fiving you from other.
Yeah,
that was happening that night, and I'd never experienced that before. People, strangers hugging strangers. Honestly, it was like Victory Day in Europe, right?
Right.
And you have people in the street hugging. It was so loud. Like, nobody could believe it.
Right.
It was sheer amazement. And the noise level. And honestly, the overtime, Canada dominated it. And then the shootout was just the Russians. You could see. They didn't even put Filatov in. Their best player.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't even take a shot in the shootout. It was over. Right? Honestly, it was. The Russian goalie kept him in. Canada poured.
Remember
his
name?
So
I've got it just because it's a fun word.
No, I don't have his name.
Jelobniak.
That doesn't even ring a bell.
That was his name, yeah. Now,
but they had Grachev on that team and Filatov and Kulikov, I believe, was on that team.
Yeah.
But Grachev, isn't he one of the Marx brothers? Grachev.
Now, maybe I'm mistaken. Now, I know that's who was in goal when Eberle scored. Did Russia, having already given up four in that game, maybe make a change?
Did he get pulled? And you know what? It's a blur.
Right.
And at that time, 09, I'm there with my 9-year-old daughter.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, it's sort of, and it's funny because it's one of those things that you think of that roll through your head is I'm witnessing a historical moment.
This is going to be shown forever and has been ad nauseum.
Right. And at the time I'm telling my daughter, you're going to be able to tell people, yeah, my dad took me to see blank, right? The Eberle goal. That's what that's going to be, right? And every sporting event like that happens and people say, oh, I was there. Yeah, bullshit, you were there. You know, but that's the reality. Honestly, the place was rocking.
I remember because it's right around the holidays. It would have been January
2nd,
2nd or 3rd.
Yeah.
And so we had just gotten back from, I'd be in my mid-20s or whatever, but I'd been away with the family for the holidays. And so everything was really quiet and I didn't really feel like going out to watch the game, right? You're already kind of spent from probably New Year's. So I'm sitting watching most of it alone in the basement at our house.
If you're still spent on the third, your New Year's was way better than mine.
Maybe it was the second.
Okay. Wow.
I don't remember, but I was tired. And I remember late in the game, my mom came down and the two of us sat there and watched that goal. And that last 15 seconds, because if you remember, there is a series of unlikely events.
A series of unlikely events.
A series of unfortunate events for the Russians.
Exactly. I love that.
And I'm sitting for that whole 15 seconds because, as you say, when Russia scores to go up late in the third, and it just doesn't look it just doesn't look like it's going to be their night, right? Like, they never quite looked like they had it going. And so I'm on the edge of my seat for that last thing. Oh, Ellis makes an amazing play to keep it in at the blue line.
On the boards.
Yeah.
Boom.
Up off the ice. He knocks it down and sends it back down to Tavares, who beats two guys for it and is able to push it out.
That's a long stick.
Yeah. Pushes it out, gets the rebound off of Jelobniak. Eberle catches it on the backhand. And they've interviewed him about that goal 300,000 times, I'm sure. And the one I remember him saying, I'd love to be able to tell you I knew exactly what to do. He said, I was going to fall. Because you can see him stumble after he scores. He said, I'm just trying to get it on net. And it goes off the backhand, in. And as you said, like, and so now.
It was seamless, though, to look at it, right?
Yeah. But if you go back and actually watch it be broken down, man, that's an unlikely goal, right? Like,
everything about it.
All skill plays, right? Ellis at the blue line, Tavares to dig it out, like, unreal.
Now, that being said, the one chink in my story is that was I was 200 feet from that goal.
At the other end of the
ice. I was at the other end of the ice. Yeah, I was at the Canada end on that.
Right. I can remember I jump up alone. Like I said, well, my mom's there, but in the basement, just I can't believe I just saw that. Right? Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable. And as you said, and not everybody's cup of tea, but Pierre Maguire on the broadcast says, look at the Russians' body language now. Like, this is done. It's even done. Though it's tied.
Honestly, it was done.
Yeah.
And to watch them, and even you, so again, Canada dominated 10-2 in shots, I think, in the overtime.
Right.
And then they roll into, and the second Russian on the shootout comes in, he gets to the top of the circles and takes a slapper.
Yeah.
Like, and
Tkachuk just,
yeah, knocked it aside, boom, yeah. And that's the end of it. Like, yeah. Honestly, they were so done.
Yeah, Tavares and Eberle score. Tkachuk gets one off the post and stops the
slapper, the clapper.
Done. Off to the gold medal game to stomp on Sweden.
Yeah, six, and I remember 6-0, 6-1.
That being about as anticlimactic a tournament final as I can ever remember. Just sitting there with my buddies, I'd recovered from New Year's. We're sitting there watching that, having a couple of beers, and it was never close, right? It was 6-1, 6-2 final, something like that.
And that was a Swedish team. It had Carlson, Hedman. They were both on that team.
Right.
Yeah. Runblad.
Pajarvi Svensson, or was that a different name? Magnus Svensson,
anyways.
Fun name.
Things we may or may not know.
Throw it out there.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's here to swat it down.
Oscar Peterson.
Hawk and Lube.
Oscar Peterson's the trumpet player. Oh. Anyways.
Sure.
You were going, I like the Hawk and Lube reference, though. Okay. That's awesome.
Maybe my favorite hockey name ever.
Wearing the old Jofa helmet. Calgary Flame. Nice.
So that, like, for you, in terms of volume of crowd,
honestly,
ahead of the UFC? Obviously, no way to measure it.
There is no way of measuring it. And I think the thing that gives, and it's going to be hard to articulate, I think it being in the dark at the UFC event,
yep,
it gives it that sort of more, the noise is a little fuller, right?
Yep.
When you can't see everything, it's a little more, so I think, but in terms of deafening noise, they're right there. They're right there together, right?
Yep.
And I want to briefly, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, contrasting that. And I've been very fortunate to have been to two World Juniors. I went to see the Halifax World Juniors too, where I took in probably 28 games, right? Over, some days I was there for three games.
Wow.
Little Czech Germany game in the afternoon, roll into the late afternoon, early evening game. You know what I mean? And that game, Russia beat Canada in the gold medal game. And honestly, yeah, I left that game feeling like, man, I should have scalped these tickets. Right, and it was dead. Everyone was just... Now, again, there was half the number of people, and Canada didn't win.
That was the Jarrett Stoll, Eric Staal on that team.
Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury was the goalie. Right, like, Jordan Tutu was the darling of the tournament.
Brad Boyes
was Derek Roy.
Ian White, I think. There's a couple of Leaf busts.
Bell.
Koliakovo.
Bell, Koliakovo, yeah. There was three Leaf defensemen, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Honestly, it couldn't have been more different or dissimilar,
right?
In terms of the environment and the crowd. But yeah, so to see that 09, that's a once in a lifetime kind of an experience.
Truly, man.
So do you have a similar hockey?
I don't know about similar, but I got to go down with a couple of friends of mine to the Winter Classic. Which
that's pretty cool.
Was a blast, right? And it was Leafs Red Wings, obviously as a huge Leaf fan. It was put off for a year because of the lockout.
Huge.
Yeah. You know what? It was different because being in a huge stadium like that, the sound just escapes out the top, right? Like, it's really hard and you're so far from the action. In terms of...
As most Leaf fans usually are.
All right. Settle down over there.
Hang out here and take pot shots. Oh, I'm a Leaf fan and I'm far from the action.
At least far from the finals anyway.
It's May and there's no action in Leafland.
That's how they got Babcock, man.
That's it. Bab. Leafs want the cock, Bab. That's what that is.
All right. Coached against Toronto in the Winter Classic as we segue back around. It snowed like hell. It was freezing cold. And it was honestly one of the coolest experiences that I'll ever have as a sports fan, right? Just in terms of the year before, or 2 years before, because the year before was the lockout, there wasn't one. It was 9 degrees Celsius and raining in Pittsburgh.
Right, and you see them in Washington, and it just...
Yeah, it's not the same. The first one that ever happened, done in Edmonton, yeah. Awesome. That's the first NHL or American done winter classic when they at Pittsburgh and Buffalo, where it's snowing, and there's that footage of Crosby skating in a blizzard in the shootout. Kind of cool, right? Like, this was, they were stopping all the time to shovel. You were constantly having to brush your shoulders off because the snow was piling up on you. It was awesome. And 100 and some odd thousand, over 109,000 or something like that people in this building. And what made that one so neat was the split, right? So many Red Wings fans there as well. And so you're trading those chants, right? You score, one team scores and half the building roars and the next team scores the other half. Like, it was so cool. And the game ends up going to a shootout. And if I remember correctly, it's Bozak who scores.
Bozak.
hopefully soon to be a Leaf no longer.
Yeah.
Scores to win it in the shootout. And the place erupts with, you know, it's half Leaf fans or whatever. And what I remember is jumping up, obviously. Well, most people stood through the shootout. And at that point, you're watching the shootout basically on a couple of the big screens that they'd put up. It was snowing so hard and it's... And he scores to win it, and a guy jumps up behind me and the group I'm with and is trying to get down to his buddies to celebrate, and he slips because it's snowing like hell, and it's what, and he's now leaning on my back and my friend's back, and I was terrified I was going down, right? Like, a whole person's body weight just
squealed like Ned Flanders.
Not quite, but it...
Come on, man. Why you gotta do me like that?
It honestly, you're just looking down. It's a football stadium of bleachers, right? Like, there's nothing to stop you except the bodies you're going to take out with you on the way down. And for some reason, that's one of my strongest memories of that kind of few moments, is both of us having to do all you can just to stay standing. Because this guy, the other option was just bend forward, let him fall to his death rather than take me with him.
You're going down!
Sorry, bud.
Yep.
But the place just erupted, right? And it was really cool, the whole environment. Detroit did an awesome job with they had downtown. That was held out at the university.
Ann Arbor.
Yeah. But downtown at Comerica Park, where the Tigers play, they had the alumni game. They had some AHL and OHL games. They had this whole festival go for a week or two that just had hockey fans come from all over the place. That was just awesome. Like, you couldn't have... They had the cup there for you to take your picture with. Like, just a really cool experience in general. And, you know, when you're walking around this stadium, there's nowhere to hide. They had set up little warming stations for people who were getting cold, right? That you could stand in between these space heaters. And you're seeing idiots that have shown up dressed to look nice instead of dressed for the warmth or the cold, right? That are now, we saw teenage girls openly sobbing, but wearing just jeans and this little dress coat instead of a winter coat, right? Whereas hardy people who've probably done enough NFL games or whatever in that area are there in ski boots and gloves and toques and what you needed every bit of it. It was cold. Like, we grabbed our beer when we first arrived. By the time we got to our seats, the tops had frozen over in an open cup. Like,
keeping it cold.
Yeah. It that was, for me, one of the coolest live sporting experiences that I've ever gone through. I get partly the crowd, partly the environment. I remember looking at my buddy and saying, would you want it any other way? Like, you're doing a winter classic. Yeah, it's freezing cold, but certainly beats, like I said, the year before in Pittsburgh, right? Like, let it snow. Let this be a spectacle, right? Let this be something you're going to remember. And so for me, like, that's probably, you know, amongst the top, right? Like,
yeah.
Live events I've
well,
ever.
And that is, and so, yeah, you're combining atmosphere with the uniqueness kind of that, right?
Yeah, and similar to what you said about the fight, the game is there, and it's of a little lower quality because of the weather conditions, but it almost became more about the spectacle than the game itself, right? And that's something that I'll never forget, for sure.
See, and the flip side, so I have it, and again, in another hockey story, the 99 Memorial Cup was here in town, right? And it was sort of a crazy combination of a bunch of things. The gold medal game that I was lucky enough to be at, Ottawa beats Calgary to win the Memorial Cup at home before a sold-out Civic Center, right, in overtime.
Right.
The legendary Matt Zoltek scores.
Wow.
Scores the winning goal.
Someday we'll do a Where Are They Now episode of Tall Cats Sports.
He's working at the Hastings Market down the street, I think. I'm almost positive. No, but that was, again, I'd been to most of those games in that tournament, right, the Memorial Cup, and it was a bit of a and I took a brief in the lead up to this show. I looked at it and I went, yeah, you know what? It's always interesting to look at, like, this is junior hockey showcase, right? And it was a great sporting event, right? And to be right in the hometown, see the hometown team win, a great environment. Everyone pours out across to the Aberdeen Pavilion where the beers are.
Yeah,
it's opened up, which is where the Senators won a Stanley Cup in 1924. Right, used to be ice in there, now just beers.
Right on.
And it's funny because that Memorial Cup actually at that point set the record for attendance.
The Civic's a big OHL building, right? 10,000, something like that.
Yeah, which it always does. Ottawa always said the World Juniors here also set the record, which has since been eclipsed.
Yep.
Right, but Ottawa seems to do that for a crappy crowd city. But I thought, I'm going to take a quick scan through that tournament, right? So it's probably fuzzy on you. You probably weren't super...
A huge junior hockey guy at that point.
Right. No. So 99, Ottawa lost in the second round to Belleville, who went on to win the OHL.
Right.
So Calgary was the Western champions. Acadie, Bathurst, Titan won the Quebec. And then Ottawa and Belleville. Belleville went on to win the OHL in... Yeah, when's the last? That's probably the last time that happened.
Yeah. Any idea? Will remain that way. Any now that they're off the Hamilton.
Exactly. Any idea? And I'm putting you on the spot here, yeah. But in terms of junior hockey star power and what leads to winning teams, man, it doesn't always pan out, right?
Well, I mean, even this year, the Jennies winning it, it beat Connor McDavid in the
right,
Dylan Strome in the finals, right?
Right.
Went up against the Kelowna team was loaded with World Junior guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't always translate that way. The big name isn't always.
So I took a scroll through in terms of even recognizable names from that 99. Okay. Like, honestly, that's only 16 years ago.
This should be interesting.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So right away, the starting goalie for the Titan, Roberto Luongo.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a little something.
Yep.
But other than that, honestly, yeah.
See, I should have known that because I knew he obviously was the world... Well, I guess I had no reason to think I should have known that. But he was the goalie for Team Canada at the World Juniors that year.
Yeah, Francois Beauchemin also was on that.
Hey.
He was on that team as well.
Frankie Beauch.
Right. But you know what? Ottawa, who won the tournament, I think the only name you're getting off of that, Brian Campbell, was on that team.
Okay.
Seriously, I couldn't find Pavel Brendel.
Okay, also on that played in the World Juniors that year.
I was going to say, does that even like in terms of that? Just set, that is the only like Ryan Shannon. This is it, right? In terms of
Pavel Brendel was supposed to be a big deal.
He was supposed to be.
Was he not part of that Yager to Washington trade? I think he was the centerpiece. He and some guy named Beach. Just David Beach or something like that, where I'm pretty sure the two centerpieces, and neither of those guys really panned out well.
And I'm forgetting, also, Ottawa had Henrik Alfredsson.
Henrik
Alfredsson.
Any relation?
Yeah, brother.
Oscar Peterson.
Yeah. And everybody's favorite, Zdeněk Knopka.
I fucking hate that guy.
A little bit. But killer on the faceoffs.
Yep, of course.
Killer on the faceoffs.
It's like so many guys, you hate them because they're playing your team hard.
Right. Well, and you know what? Belleville, who won the OHL and had a hell of a season, really, they're one guy that you would cling to 16 years later. Jonathan Chichu.
Hey. One-time Ottawa Senator bust.
And, well, yeah, one-time Rocket Richard Trophy winner.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Strangely not the same year.
No, strangely. Strangely not. But anyways, just that was a very interesting opportunity to take in that whole. Now, none of it registered in terms of volume, but in terms of a unique or but an opportunity.
Right.
You know, those don't roll around all the time.
I, you know, in a similar, not overly similar, but in terms of very memorable, but not in terms of volume or in terms of the game itself, I was lucky enough a couple of years back now, more than that, my dad somehow ended up with two tickets in a box to
go. Two tickets to paradise? Any money?
Two tickets to paradise.
Pack your bags, we leave tonight.
No. Strangely, no, that's not where the tickets were for.
Two tickets to Pittsburgh. No.
Whoops.
Yes.
He ended up with two tickets to go see the Oshawa Generals on the night they retired Bobby Orr's number two.
Yeah.
Which was awesome, right? Just something cool that he had never really wanted to do it. He doesn't really like the limelight, Bobby, right? And he didn't ever want to do it in Oshawa when he was playing. And then he was an agent and, you know, am I representing any generals right now? And it just kind of kept slipping down the road and finally they ended up doing it. And so my dad ended up getting these tickets to go to a box and asked me if I wanted to come with him. And that was a really cool, it's a small OHL barn and, you know, people have got the cowbells instead of clapping. And it was really just, you know, to watch him give a little speech, and they had done this cheesy kind of music video for him and whatever. I can't for the life of me remember who they played or what the score was, but it doesn't matter, right? It's still a super fond memory.
Come on, Dad, let's get out of here. Pre-game's over.
If you've seen the area of Oshawa, the arena's in, you're safer inside.
Yeah. No, I have seen it. I was just there this spring.
Right. But that's just one of those things that, you know, obviously in a way other level than what you were talking about with the 09 World Juniors, but to say you were there and, you know, they, you know.
Right, and you know what?
A piece of Oshawa hockey history and to go do it with your old man. The whole thing was awesome. And we ended up speaking briefly because we were up in a box, and it turned out by chance after the ceremony, there was a huge area kind of beside it that was more like a party box or they used for some kind of function that he was sitting up with the other dignitaries.
Just for the record, I get behind the term party box.
Party box. With the other dignitaries. So right kind of on the other side of the railing, Cassie Campbell was sitting watching the game. And so my cousin and I, he was there with his dad.
Was she Pascal at that time?
That's a good question, man.
Okay.
Not really, but you know, she chatted with us for probably 5 minutes. She was super friendly, offered to, they weren't letting anybody in
to
where you could go and speak to Bobby, but she took our tickets over and got them to, you know, got them signed for us and whatever, which the whole night was just really, like I said, I have no idea what happened during the game, but that's one of those cool live sporting things that I hold on to. I've still got the program, right, and the ticket and all that stuff, so.
You know, and as we work our way down towards, you know, less sort of monumental type sporting events. My older brother and I had a chance. We went to see Alexei Yashin's return to Ottawa.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Which I don't know what happened. I bought him these two tickets. We were in suite seats in the 200 level. Alcohol-free zone. I have no idea.
Oh, no, we're with the families.
What the hell is going on here? But anyways, really kind of a, you know, it's a whatever. It's a sort of a November-December game. And anyways, it's a 2-2 game. Yashin takes a penalty, cries like a bitch as he's going off the ice.
Like a bitch.
And Ottawa scores the game winner with Yashin in the box. That was super in terms of, there was a lot of hype to that game.
Mm-hmm.
For them to score, beat the Islanders with Yashin in the box. Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And again, that was one of those, they could have queued up Chelsea Dagger because honestly, hey, that's like, that was the environment. It was circus-like in there. People were enjoying themselves. Again, nowhere near the volume or anything like that, but it was quite, raucous, right? In terms of good times, that's one of them.
Yeah.
I also, just before we finish this up, in 2002, I was in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Right.
I got to go see, now soccer is not my cup of tea, but I got to see the Fla-Flu, which is Flamengo versus Fluminense, both Rio de Janeiro teams. And they play in the Maracana Stadium, which is holds 75,000 people. And it's jam-packed with the craziest people. I don't know where they came from. I don't know what jails they emptied out to let these people
soccer
in.
Soccer hooligans.
Man, yeah. Alive, bare-chested, swearing. And I was, honestly, I was a little afraid. And Maracana has a lip on it. Right, as it's sort of, it's this open stadium with this lip, and there's people with drums up underneath the rim, and doom, doom, and it's reverberating down in the stands.
Seems
and
very tribal. Right?
Honestly, yeah, you see those early black and white movies that take place in Africa where all you can hear is the beating of the drums.
Yeah, exactly.
Doom, 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 doom. And you know that something bad's going to happen here. That's actually how I felt.
Right.
Right, like I had to wear my wallet in the front of my pants because, and actually in my underwear because that's the only way I was going to make sure that I got out of there with it. But
right.
In terms of huge rivalry, like I said, again, both they are the equivalent of sort of Montreal and Toronto in the NHL, right? In terms of,
yeah.
Now, that's not a great analogy because both of them have won a lot, whereas in the NHL, Montreal and Toronto, only Montreal's won a lot. Toronto wins and virtually never, but
just so we're clear, when was the last time Montreal won? Because they don't still win a lot.
93, okay. True. But so, we're talking about historical and franchises, and so that's why I throw them both in there.
Okay.
And really bitter rivalries.
Yep.
Rivals, and so it was honestly it was crazy, right? And you have 75,000 people. It's honestly jammed, shoehorned in there.
Right.
And for anybody who hasn't been to one of those. The stadium is broken up into three price levels. It's like a green, yellow, red. And so you don't buy a seat. You buy just a spot in the zone.
Right.
And so at halftime, they get up and everybody rotates clockwise.
Yeah.
So you follow your team. And so you have 75,000 people all getting up and shifting.
Migrating.
You would never do that in here in Ottawa. People said, okay, now you're going to go over to section 326.
Yeah.
I know you're in 307 right now. But you're going to get up and you're going to move that way. No, don't go this way. We're not salmon. Go that way. Anyways, unique, honestly, in terms of and not nothing to do with volume, but just in terms of experience.
Right.
And an interesting note, too, that you can do a tour of the stadium. And so we were there in 02, so I think it was probably 15 years earlier than that, late 80s. They were forced to put seats in it. Now, they went to benches so that you could actually have a number in there, right?
Right.
They used the shoehorn in. They have the record. The 1963 Fla-Flu had, are you ready for this? 184,000 people.
Good Lord.
In that same
stadium. Holy Fla-Flu.
In that same stadium, man. Unbelievable. And again, I think people died. There was a fireworks, something went off, and people were stampeded.
Died, man.
Yeah, thank you. We're touching on that again. But honestly, so in terms of, you know, the guy sell, you know, and we're so, you know, sterile here in North America in terms of and sanitized. Guys are down there. A guy comes along and he's selling you popcorn. He's got no shirt on. We're lucky he was wearing pants. And he's selling me popcorn out of a Ziploc bag. Like, I think he may have made it in a microwave.
Brought it from home.
Exactly. In the back of his van in the back. And he's just selling off these little Ziploc bags.
Laced
of popcorn.
With something.
You know what? I really tried not to think about it, to be honest with you.
Just two more quick ones. Not to spend a lot of time. I was lucky enough to get to Yankee Stadium before it closed up. Really, really cool. We were there with a charter group, so the day before we got to go do a tour of the stadium, and they let us down into the dugout, and you're getting to walk the warning track. But they're really strict about you don't walk on the grass, right?
That's don't touch the grass.
Yeah, and
get off my lawn.
There was a guy who'd come all the way from this little town, and I don't mean to be disrespectful too much, but the Dominican or Puerto Rico or something, right? I don't know. He didn't speak any English hardly, but he'd come all the way, and he wanted to get a couple grass clippings from Yankee Stadium. And no, man, you can't touch it. You can't have it. You can't whatever. And someone else in the tour group pointed out that they were actually doing maintenance and they were had cut the grass and there were bags or whatever. And so they asked the tour group who asked like the maintenance guy, you know, could he go get some of that? He doesn't have to go out on the grass. And they ended up setting him up with this thing that he was going to go home and sprinkle in his backyard was this grass from Yankee Stadium, right? That was kind of cool. And once you get in there, it's super high and super shallow, right? As you're walking down the steps, there's not much to step on. You're looking straight down. So that was kind of unique in terms of how old it was. And, you know, that was a really awesome one to see. And you and I were on the same trip at one point to Sweden and saw a Swedish Elite League hockey game, which was somewhat eye-opening compared to the NHL experiences that, you know, you see over here. You know, at one point they had the home team comes out to the big intimidating light show and music or whatever. And then the road team shows up and, oh, it's the chicken dance that they play as the music.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really hard to skate out there feeling all cool.
Yeah, you come out there looking menacing and then that kicks. You know, right,
oh, no, I suck again.
And so that building was not full when we were, but it also had that kind of, to an extent, right, you're supposed to sit behind your home team. And that's why we were the only ones sitting in our section that.
Yeah, we actually sat in the corner and there was nobody else in the section.
Yeah. Got a lovely Swedish arena pus hot dog, yeah, that you so aptly described as a pus dog. Just kind of soft and
no meat that you should bite, that you bite into, should squirt and spit at you. Oh, no.
So that was definitely, you know, I think we agreed kind of coming out of there that a good OHL franchise is probably taking down a Swedish Elite League, which is men's hockey, not junior hockey.
Yeah, those two teams anyways.
Yeah.
The Red Hawks against HK 71, I think, was the opponent that night.
Catchy name.
Yeah. I would rather have seen Modo.
Love to get my hands on an HK 71 hat.
Yes. Well, right up there with the Red Hawks.
Anything on a bucket list for you? Anything that you'd really like to see before it's all...
You know what? I would love to, and we've knocked this around in the past a lot. I'd love to go to see an IIHF World Hockey Championship in Europe.
Yep.
I'd do a World Juniors overseas as well. Really, that's one thing. I'm not even sure if it's a sporting event, but I would love to do. I'd love to see I had the stones big enough. I'd love to do the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. Honestly, to me, that would be, and again, not sure if that strictly fits into this
right.
sporting category, and it's more participation. Well, than
what other category is ever going to come up for you to throw it into? So
I'd love to do that. And it's fun to say Pamplona.
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 All right.
So, yeah, you know what? Either an IIHF World Championship in someplace nice. I want to go to someplace like Zurich.
You don't want to be in like Omsk or
yeah,
Ufa.
I'm not doing any of those places. No, not at all. I'd love to do, Vienna.
Right.
Prague. I'd love to do Prague. Come on, honest to God.
Yeah, and we have talked about that. That's kind of been my if I ever win the lottery thing, right? I'll grab 6-8 people. I'll foot the bill. Hockey Canada does those travel packages where they put you in the right hotels
and
get the tickets to the games. And but for me, it would be a World Juniors, right? You do Christmas Day with the family, get on a flight to Europe sometime during Christmas. No, I'm not.
Okay.
I might. We'll see how much I want.
Tall can will pay for it.
Obviously. A late kind of Christmas Day flight arriving in time for the Boxing Day kickoff game and stay for the tournament, right, with a group of friends or whatever, in, like you said, in a burn, right, or a...
Yeah, no, I want to be somewhere in...
I'd love to go back to Scandinavia, right, that'd be, if it was Stockholm, if it was anywhere in Sweden, I'd go.
Helsinki, too, yeah. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, like I said, I don't really have any interest in ending up in Russia, I don't
yeah,
really...
ever.
Ever, for anything, especially now that I've said that. It's I think they hold a grudge.
People died.
Matt died. Just wanted to go watch hockey with his friends.
Yeah, see what happens. Damn you for wanting. Wanting. Always the needy wanting.
So that's the big one for me. I've never been to an NFL game. I don't have this super overwhelming desire to do. I'm not getting on a bus to Buffalo to go watch the god-awful Bills play.
Right.
But, you know, at some point if...
Honestly, I'd get into a tailgating session.
Right.
And I would never make it into the game.
So, like, I wouldn't mind doing that if it was a good game. It's not even a, oh, I'd like to go to the Super Bowl. It's just at some point I want to go see an NFL game, but I'm not going to do it just for the sake of doing it kind of thing. Right?
Well, you know, and you know what's, it's just come into my head now, and it's not ever, I've honestly, I would love to go see college basketball in the States. I think the environment in-house is...
Certainly unique, right? Certainly we don't do that up here.
We don't know. Well, okay. Yeah, all right. We have a great basketball program here in town, right?
I mean the environment in the buildings.
Right. No, no. So here we can go and see, you know, a 10-time national champion play and you'll get
but don't
2,000 people,
yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
Right? Where you go down there and they are so into it that – to me, it's more of an environment thing than an actual basketball game, right?
Yeah, that doesn't hold as much interest.
How about NASCAR? Me,
zero interest to me.
Zero interest.
A couple hours of people turning left, and there's a chance a car is going to land on me. I'm not really all that lined up to go into it.
Live a little, man.
Why don't you want to get hit by cars?
Honestly.
What's wrong with you?
Flying debris.
Yeah, so I mean, I have a buddy of mine who did it, said he had a blast, and... came back with his t-shirt covered in
feces.
Rubber, right? Like oh. From tires getting spinning out and whatever. I can't say I'd ever thought of that. Must have meant he had pretty good seats.
Yeah, he did have pretty good seats.
I don't know what good seats are for NASCAR.
And earplugs, obviously.
I guess so, yeah.
Because you know what? When I was maybe 13, I went with my dad down to see the qualifying of the Montreal Grand Prix Formula One.
Right.
And I in no way was prepared for the volume of of noise that comes out of those vehicles to generate that kind of speed.
Right.
Man, it's crazy loud. But I have no car racing, or nothing.
Yeah, right. Like, and you know what? For some reason, maybe, I don't really know why, I think, and it only ever comes up one day a year that I think about it, might be kind of fun to go see, and now I've completely fucking lost, the Kentucky Derby.
Okay, you're on your own.
Yeah. Like, to me, that just seems like something to do once.
Get a little mint julep into you.
Sure. Nice hat, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
a bowler, I think, is where you want to go with that.
Okay, sure, why not? When in Kentucky.
When in Louisville. You know what? And regret it may be too strong a word, but there was a brief period of time there where I was maybe every year, every second summer, we were in London, right? And I wish like hell at this point that I'd taken the opportunity to get to Wimbledon, right? And that I'm not a huge tennis fan,
right?
But how often are you going to have that? And maybe there was 3 years in a row we were there,
right?
During and again, it's not a wicked commitment. You can buy in the first week, especially a day pass,
right?
You can get in, and you may not be able to get on center court, mm-hmm. but you can wander into all the side courts and whatever.
It's one of those things, right? I'm here. Why? Right. When am I ever going to be here again? Despite your saying of being fairly regular for a while there for you, why wouldn't you go and? Because you're right, I'm not a tennis guy at all. But you know, once, why not? Right.
Just, right. And so I sort of regret that now.
Right.
That's a decade removed from that, and I just wonder because it's always around Canada Day, right?
Right.
Well, they just wrapped up, right? So it usually straddles Canada Day.
Right.
And so the occasion that we were there for usually was right around that, and so. Yeah, I would like to have seen that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to leave you plenty of time to live with your regret, and we'll wrap this one up.
Oh, I have so many. fresh.
I don't want to bring anything positive up. We'll just end on a negative.
Exactly.
Send everybody home
in
disappointed
your
in your lack of seeing Wimbledon. That'll do it for
talking. My disappointment in all kinds of things.
Well, we'll try and stick to Wimbledon for a little while. That'll do it for Tall Can Sports, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Well, This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.